That's always kind of been her thing, right? Drawing?
You have to promise not to freak out.
Amber drew that?
She's working through some stuff.
You know, feelings aren't bad. When you get angry, sad, or scared, put it in here, where it can't hurt anyone.
Here's the thing. Life is all about balancing the good and the bad.
I saw an eyeball with legs.
Every part of that was horrifying.
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.
I don't know if I was a bad wife last night. I lied to cover up something that my toddler Dakota did.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's right or wrong.
So you lied to your husband, obviously, then.
Well, I wouldn't call it lying. I would call it just not telling the whole truth.
Oh, come on. An omission of the truth is the same thing as a bold-faced lie. It's the exact same thing. Come on.
No, it's not. It's Anna and Raven.
Tell me what happened.
Paul works from home now, permanently. That's how his new job is because of, you know, thank you, COVID.
Right.
So we don't have an office or anything, so he has set up his quote-unquote office in our bedroom.
Okay.
So in one corner, he's got the folding table, and he's got, like, the seven different screens and everything set up there. But the problem is because it's not a separate office space, my daughter Dakota is always in our bedroom, and she's playing if we're in there. So I was getting dressed, and I wasn't paying any attention. And then I looked over, and she was hiding under the folding table slash desk, and she was taking her little tiny toddler two-year-old finger, and she was pushing all the buttons frantically on his computer.
Oh, great.
So I yelled over my shoulder, Dakota, stop it, Mama, stop.
Yeah.
But I didn't actually do anything to stop her.
Right. You didn't hop up and run. Forget it. You were fully engrossed in what you had going on.
Well, getting dressed.
Right.
So then she hid under the desk slash folding table, and she pretended like I couldn't see her, and then she would reach up her little tiny hand and finger, and then she would peek over her shoulder to see if I was looking, and then I would hear banging on the computer desk.
Pretty right? Malicious.
Then she unplugged everything and everything went black. So I just said, you know, at that point I said, Dakota, you gotta leave daddy's stuff alone.
Right.
But you know, she's two, so she doesn't really pay that much attention. And then I brought her to the other side of the room. I turned on Mickey Mouse and I went on with my life. Fast forward later on in the night,
mm-hmm.
Paul walks in.
To a disaster.
And he's like, what happened to my desk? I said, I don't know.
You don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, why didn't you just tell him? We've got a two-year-old, and I can't be on top of her every single moment. And so she got away from me for a moment. I mean, you don't have to tell him the exact time. Minimize, of course.
Well, I've been saying for a long time that there's something wrong with our electrical in our room, because whenever you flip the on and off switch to the light,
yes,
like the TV flickers. So I instead use this as an opportunity to say, I told you you should check the lights
right.
to make sure everything is working in our bedroom.
Get an electrician right away.
Yep. And he was like, oh my gosh, you're right. So he rebooted everything. And, you know, because of all the security settings on his stuff, everything had to be reset. He couldn't get into any of his programs.
Oh, man.
So now I had taken this lie to help me figure out what is wrong with
and
the electrical.
And you have to keep going with it.
That's yes!
That's the problem with the lie, is now you have to carry that lie forever.
And now I don't know what to do. So now he thinks it's the weird electrical in our bedroom and not Dakota.
It's a poltergeist and not your child. Ignorance is sometimes bliss.
So I was right. That's what you're saying. I was right.
Don't hold me to it.
People are always asking, what should I get my significant other for Valentine's Day? I think the bigger question is what should you not get them? It's Anna and Raven. Karen Thomas is an author, a public speaker, and the foremost authority when it comes to etiquette. You can visit her online at ktetiquette.com. Karen, is there such a thing as a bad gift on Valentine's Day?
Unfortunately, there are bad gifts that will give off an impolite or maybe a wrong signal.
All right. What is it, the number one thing I should not buy for my husband?
A steering wheel cover.
What? Good news.
Steering wheel cover. Very impersonal. Like you were just wandering the aisles of a store and found it and said, this will do. Like an afterthought. Those are the types of things you should not give. Another big one. So let's go maybe to the men, to the women. Self-help book. Very, very ill-advised to give your significant other a self-help book, because what you're doing is pointing out that they have a flaw or flaws.
Well, that seems to make sense, but is that always true?
Karen, what I've realized, last Christmas, the number one thing that you should not buy your significant other for the holidays was a Peloton.
Oh, no, it's the number one gift.
If my husband surprised me with a Peloton right now, I would be so incredibly happy. So you're saying self-help book, but do you think that's very different than like a piece of exercise equipment?
You have to feel out the significant other and be like, okay, you know, she's been talking about this gift, and I really think she would like it, then it's okay. But for him to just come home with this random exercise bike, you haven't been talking about it, that then sends the signal that says, hey, there might be a little pudge, and I think you should exercise. So you don't want to send the wrong signal.
Well, I guess you could have it delivered, and then you just act like you have no idea how it got there until you see her reaction.
Sounds good. What's next on that list of do not buy?
Gift cards. Very impersonal. Unless they know that you absolutely love to shop at. What thought went into that gift card? What thought went into that store that they're purchasing it from?
Sound easy. You give me a gift card to like a food place or Amazon and I'm going to be happy. It might take me 2 years to pull that thing out of the drawer and spend it, but sometime I'm going to spend it and I'm going to be like, yeah.
How about, well, your husband, you've been married for 16 years and you have no idea what to get him anymore?
I would do two things. You know what? Get him something that he likes specifically, and then maybe throw a rose or two into it.
I don't think I've ever given my husband flowers before. Has Alicia ever given you flowers, Raven?
No. I'm easy.
I just sent my husband roses. His birthday was last Tuesday. Of course, he got teased all day, but right. He even said to me, he says, this was unexpected. Again, yeah. Kind of have to judge on the personality of the person as well.
I can't imagine my husband would like getting roses. Definitely not at work.
At his job? But yeah. On the other hand, I'd love him here. Right? I'd be peacocking around. Right?
You'd just be walking around with your dozen
That's
roses
right.
showing everybody.
I'd be like, here I am, Mr. America.
Right. Karen Thomas, she is one of the nation's foremost authorities when it comes to etiquette. You can visit her online at ktetiquette.com. I am 40 years old.
Hmm.
And I heard my mom say the F word for the first time ever this past Monday.
That's the big, big one, too.
I stopped dead in my tracks, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Right. Your mom can do that. She's not actually a saint. It's inside of her. And you didn't know.
I didn't know.
It's like a surprise. It's terrifying and yet somewhat exciting at the moment. You don't know what to do with it.
It's so crazy. When did you hear your mom swear for the first time? It's Anna and Raven. So, Raven, you know, you make the joke about my mom being a saint.
Yeah.
My mom wanted to be a nun when she was little.
Wow, I had no idea.
Growing up, she grew up in the mountains of Italy, and like she really looked up to the nuns, and she wanted to be a nun very badly. My grandmother was the one that was like, no, like you're not going to be a nun.
Right. Enjoy yourself. Have a life. Get out there and enjoy yourself. I like to see her gazing upon the chapel up there atop the hill. And then a donkey.
Oh, no.
Over in the area somewhere.
That's Pupa.
Pupa was your donkey.
Pupa was a donkey.
Okay, right.
That's a real thing. You think you're being funny, but listen.
No, I'm saying... it's a wonderful life. I'm just envisioning that life.
So my mom, I've never heard her swear. And when I was little, if she said the S word, I knew that we were in huge trouble.
Somebody had done something very, very, very bad.
And that was for the S word. But never in my life did I think I would hear her say the F word. So what possibly could have happened now at my 40-year-old self that would trigger such a reaction from her?
Right.
So she watches my toddler, Dakota. She has her on Mondays and Wednesdays. On Monday, I go to pick her up from my mom's house, and I'm sitting next to her on the couch, and we're just talking, and Dakota is sitting in between us, and I see her phone light up with a text message.
Okay.
And it's a message from my aunt, Zierita.
Right.
And, you know, she doesn't know how to use her phone, so it just says what the message says, you know, just full out says it. Like, you know how sometimes it hides the actual message?
Okay.
I can read the entire message when it pops up on the screen.
Okay, right. So she doesn't have a two-line notification.
No,
just all pops out.
And it says, you won! !! Happy face, happy face.
Yes.
And I go... Ma, I go, Zia just texted you, you won. I go, what did you win?
Yeah.
And she got really quiet. And she goes, let me see the phone. I said, all right.
I think I can already guess.
And she looked at it, and she got quiet for a second. Then she said, oh! And then she said the F word.
And then she said the bad word.
Yeah, and I said, Ma!
Right. It must have been something terrible. Did somebody lose a leg?
I go, what did you mean? What did you win? What's wrong?
Right.
So every single day, she plays my grandfather's birthday, who has passed away. It's 714 in the lottery.
It's one of the only things that she actually does. I mean, as far as lotto goes, and she does it consistent.
She plays
circles every time the Powerball and the Mega Millions gets up there for the entire family. That's why she probably got the text message, because everybody's aware of this.
And these are
her numbers every day.
Yes, this is her and her sister. So they play the same numbers. My grandfather's birthday, 714, every single day.
Yeah.
That day, she packed up Dakota. She went to go to this place where she goes gets her lotteries every single day.
Right.
Dakota was asleep in the back. She fell asleep in her car seat. So she sat there for 40 minutes
waiting for
Dakota to wake up.
Yeah.
And she didn't wake up. And finally she was like, oh, the baby's tired. I could skip one single day.
I'm not going to take her in, wake her up, all right. that. Right.
And my mom is just telling me the story. She goes, nah. I thought about leaving her in the car for 1 minute, but I said no. I would not like that. I'm like, No, mom.
Wouldn't like that. Neither would the authorities. Nobody.
Not 1986, mom. You can't just leave my sleeping baby in the car.
Right.
She's like, so I just went home and I sat in the driveway until she woke up. Well, fast forward, guess what number came out for the first time?
No.
Yeah. And that's why she said the F word. And you know what? I probably would have said it too, let's be honest.
I mean, you're just glad it wasn't something you did.
Yes.
That's what I would think. Mm-hmm.
That's all I need to know about you.
That's all I need to know about you. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you're blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Sienna and Raven. If you can't walk after one wine cooler.
Come on, don't be a hater.
And you decide to take the Lombardi trophy and just throw it to another boat. That's all I need to know about you.
Listen, if you're not here for drunk Tom Brady, that's all I need to know about you. Because it seems like the nation is united. Of all the things that we have that divide us as people nowadays, yes. Anna, it seems most people are standing up and cheering for Tom Brady today.
I'll be honest, Raven. It put the biggest smile on my face.
It was just funny to see, right?
Because you don't see him like that. When you see Tom Brady, he's so composed and serious. And like I'm like, does this guy ever even smile? And all I can imagine is like, I don't even know why I feel like Giselle is mean to him. I don't even know why I think that.
I think she reeled him in probably when he was younger, but he wasn't ever all that crazy of a guy. But I get what you're saying, right? I mean, he's always very composed and measured is what I would say, disciplined.
And even if you're not a Tom Brady fan, which I'm not, you do have to have respect for everything he's accomplished. But when you see
best
him,
ever.
When you see him stumbling, they had a boat parade in Tampa Bay, and he's stumbling because he drank too much. What did he say? Avocado tequila?
He said he had a little too much avocado tequila.
Yeah. Right?
And he spelled it all screwed up, too. Yeah. He had a little fun retweeting the different video, the GIFs and the memes that are out there from him because they came quick.
Yeah. So he's standing on one boat, and Gronkowski is on the other boat. He picks up the Lombardi trophy. And he just throws it. And here is the commentary as it's happening live on TV.
Big old boat parade. Wait. No, don't. No. Good. Okay. Touchdown.
Just like the Super Bowl.
They caught it. But well, I thought.
It's number three right there.
I thought, Raven, that Gronk wasn't allowed to touch the Lombardi trophy because he dented it last time.
Oh, come on with that. What I'll say is Gronk has four. Tom Brady has seven. When you get that many of them, I think that the rules don't really apply as much. When you have one, you know, you hold it real close because it's the first time you revel in it. Right? Oh. When you get the second one, you know how hard it was to get back to the second. When you get to the seventh one, you're just like, whatever.
I'll just throw it in the water.
Charge me for the replacement. I'll get you another one. It's no big deal.
That's all I need to know about you. Speaking of actually Gronk, you know, he's come out a lot over the last couple of years in and out of the retirement talking about his concussions and how that's really affected his game and his love of football.
That's why he took a year off, really.
Yeah. And, you know, he's recovered. He's doing well. But when you get a concussion, it's no joke, right? But what was the weird way you got your concussion? How were you concussed? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Nobody's making joke about concussions because they're serious and they are scary.
No question about it, man. Yeah. Sometimes you see a guy get drilled and it's on television and his eyes are just like, you look like he doesn't know what planet he's on.
It's terrible. But when Rob Gronkowski, who has four Super Bowl rings, was talking about this.
I truly believe that any injury that you receive is fixable, though. I mean, I went through it. I had 9 surgeries. Probably had like 20 concussions in my life.
20 concussions in your life?
He's doing fine. Yeah, it's fixable. Duh. Throw Vince Lombardi trophy to me on boat. It's fixable.
Gronk is, I love Gronk. You know, I just feel like he's so honest. I don't know. There's something about him that's very, very likable.
Yeah, there's not really a big filter. He doesn't put up a big front.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Here's the thing about it, though. 20 concussions is every mom's nightmare, right?
Yeah. I got to be honest, though. I feel like I had like 20 concussions, and yeah. I never played sports. I was never in football. I was just a rowdy kid. And I can remember, you know, being in hospitals or whatever and you know, hearing that it's like the eighth one, like having like 3 in a year. So, I mean, I remember one time flipped over my 10-speed racing in the neighborhood. We had a big hill in the neighborhood, and there were speed bumps around. It was like a condo complex, right?
Yeah.
Flipped over the 10-speed, slid about 30 yards on my face. The worst part was that I had to, you know, have vitamin E on half my face for the entire summer.
Yes.
Wasn't even allowed outside in the sunshine for like 3 weeks. But I also had a concussion. I remember that time very clearly.
Yeah. The only time I've ever had a concussion, thank goodness, is I was 16 and my boyfriend had just gotten his license.
Yeah.
And he drove this little Ford, was it called Fiat? The little Fiat?
Oh, my gosh.
No, Fiesta. It was a Fiesta.
The most unattractive car ever.
The Fiesta.
No wonder you picked him out. I knew he was going to be mine.
And he was making fun of me, and he was driving.
How could he make fun of anybody for anything ever? But okay, so he was making fun of you.
And he wasn't paying attention to the road.
Yeah.
And he hit the car in front of us. And us being dumb teenagers, I didn't have a seatbelt on.
Oh, my gosh.
And my head went through the windshield.
You're lucky you didn't seriously die in a Fiesta in an accident with no seatbelt.
Can you imagine?
I mean, that would have been terrible.
I'll never forget waking up in the hospital, looking up at my dad, and like and being like, I didn't know what happened. It was the worst thing. Wear your seatbelt. Wear your seatbelt. I learned the hard way that day, but that was the first time and only time I've ever had a concussion.
I had so many. I feel like they were no big deal back in the 80s. People were like, he'll be fine.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did you get a concussion?
My granddaughter, when she was 11, we had a TV in her room mounted on the wall, and it fell on her head, and she had a concussion.
Yeah, the improperly mounted television. That'll get you every time.
You know, it's even scarier when it's your kids because you have to stay up all night and, like, you can't sleep because you have to watch them and make sure every wake them up every couple hours. It's tough as a parent when your kid hurts themselves.
I mean, that's worse than keeping yourself awake to stay alive?
Well, no. The panic, Raven, not the actual staying awake. The panic that goes along with it.
Well, if I'm asleep, I'm not worried. That's all I'm saying.
How did you get concussed? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. Gronk was saying how he's had over 20 concussions in his life. He also has 4 Super Bowl rings, but he says he's completely healed from all of them. Not making light of the situation, concussions are scary.
Well, of course they are. I mean, obviously he signed up for it. He's playing a gladiator sport. He's out there. Bodies are running at each other at 20 miles per hour each, over and over and over again, every single play. But when you're a kid, or even as an adult, sometimes you concuss yourself in the dumbest ways.
Right.
I mean, a slip, a fall, standing up in the wrong spot. It happens.
We asked on our Facebook page, when were you concussed? David said he fell off the monkey bars head first when he was a kid.
I mean, the monkey bars were kind of like a triangle of death. Right?
Yes!
Back in the day, monkey bars were everywhere.
Yes.
And then I remember for about 2 decades, monkey bars were like outlawed. And I think they're back at a lot of playgrounds now.
No, all the playgrounds that I know have monkey bars. But I remember that there was once a petition in my town.
Right, to get rid of them, right?
To get rid of them. And I was like, what is this? And then I was like, oh, yeah, kids are always falling off those things. And I have never had the arm strength to be able to do the monkey bars.
Oh,
never.
That's sad.
Isn't it?
Well, I also remember, though, back in the day, it seems like we were a little bit more conventional with the monkey bars, right? Like you went across them or you hung from them, or maybe you were inverted if you were a real daredevil. That was it. Nowadays, it's like parkour.
Right.
So, like nowadays, it's a little bit different.
How did you get concussed? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
Hey, so I was the girl that fell off the horse. So my best friend, she rides horses, and one day she brought me with her to the stables, and I was actually joking about how I was going to be a better equestrian than her, and I totally did something wrong, and the horse threw me off. I'm never getting on a horse again.
That's
scary. This is why I'm terrified of horses, Anna.
Yeah,
I told you. To a horse, everything in the world is either one big apple, something for them to bite, or one big toilet, somewhere for them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm terrified of horses.
I can't figure out what's more scary, the idea of falling off a horse or being kicked in the face by a horse.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Both of them would probably result in concussions. I understand. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. How did you get a concussion?
My brothers and I used to pretend we were in the WWE, and I jumped off the top of the couch pretending to be Jimmy Superfly Snuka and slammed my head into the coffee table.
My
brothers wouldn't even go get my mom because they thought we'd get in trouble.
Is he dead?
Right.
Is he dead? Don't tell mom.
Perfect time to put the Ultimate Warrior armbar on you right there. Flying drop kick.
Don't call mom. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did you get a concussion?
Oh, man, I've got one of those old school fridges in my man cave. And you know how there's a freezer on the top? Yeah, I was knelt down and I was just packing some stuff on the bottom. I stood up and boom, concussion time. Lights out.
Well, I mean, that's pretty serious. I mean, you definitely will knock your head pretty good when you stand up unexpectedly. But I mean, a concussion, that's legit.
Yeah, out.
Those freezer doors, they're no joke, man. When you hit your head on them, like those old school ones, I have one in my basement. Same thing. It is awful.
Silent killer.
How are you concussed? Head to our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven, and stay safe. Do you think when these corporations that were making all the Hallmark cards wanted to sell more candy and more cards, they realized how stressful Valentine's Day would be?
I mean, it's all fake. It's all a fantasy. So I don't think they cared.
Mm-hmm.
They just were like, as long as we get the people in the store, mm-hmm. we're going to be fine with this.
The top three things to have a perfect Valentine's Day, they say. You ready for it, Raven?
Okay.
It's all about the dining. Depending on your COVID restrictions, obviously, it's either a romantic restaurant or you have the option to, get this, Raven, dine under the stars at a park, candlelight on a blanket. That's what they suggest.
What if there's a polar vortex?
Well, you're going to have to move. All right. The second thing, listen to your favorite love songs together while cuddling and talk about why each song means something to you.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
It's actually insightful. That's not bad. That won't cost you anything except time.
And here's where the corporation really gets you. And number three, the most important, don't forget the little things, flowers, candy, and a card.
But the trick is going to be putting all these things into practice, Anna Zapp,
mm-hmm.
right? All these different little rules that they have for you here. So I think that that's fantasy, most of that, but the reality will be something more closer to, baby, I'm going to wake up from my 2-hour nap, feed the dogs so sensually, baby.
Yep.
So you won't have to do it. Then I'm going to take them outside, follow them around until they do their business. I'll pick up the pizza with extra cheese after I come back in from our favorite spot. You queue up the latest Netflix binge, and we'll both fall asleep on the couch before 8:30, not even touching each other.
That sounds perfect. That actually sounds like the reality of a Valentine's Day.
I mean, that's hot
yeah.
for most couples right there. I mean, I could see the guys spanning each other in the other room right now.
Right. They're like, yep. Wait a minute. You're going to get extra cheese on that pizza tonight? Oh, we going big.
You won't have to do anything with the dogs.
Can you?
I got it covered.
Stop at CVS on the way home. Get me some Lactaid. It's going to be a big night.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a vision of this romantic Valentine's Day on Sunday. I'm like, husband and I, we're going to go out for a romantic dinner, just the two of us, right?
Mm.
He texted me yesterday. I got reservations for all four of us, including our two daughters. Yeah, we're going to go to Applebee's. I'm like, what? All right.
Riblets are great.
Yeah. Can you look for coupons online?
Right. We're not going without them.
Got it. Yeah, the reality versus fantasy of Valentine's Day, a little bit different. Nowhere along that lines did I pick up a card. No.
Try and enjoy your holiday.
Mm-hmm. You know how Butterball has the turkey helpline when it gets closer to Thanksgiving?
Sure. Qualified people, professionals on the other line waiting for your calls of confusion to help you out.
Right. We were wondering, how come there's not one of those for Valentine's Day? Like, you have a question. It's a big holiday. You don't want to mess it up. It's not a turkey, but it's your significant other. Still a big deal.
Time to do something about it, Anna.
Yep. It's Anna and Raven's Valentine's Day helpline. 1-800-330-9999. You can ask us anything.
Yeah, so I'm dating a new girl. We're kind of recent. And for Valentine's Day, she told me that I should not get her anything.
Oh.
I'm a little concerned about that. I mean, is that true? Should I be worried?
I'm going to let Anna tell you if you don't understand this already.
When a woman says to you, you don't have to get me anything, you have to get her something.
Yeah, and it's got to be clever.
Yeah.
It's got to be. Now, it doesn't have to be extravagant. It actually shouldn't be extravagant.
Correct.
Because then it'll get a little bit weird.
Yes.
But it's got to be clever. Do you have any skills? Do you have any, like, talents?
Ice sculpting. Have you ever done any ice sculptures before?
Fair question.
Yeah.
Right. That would be good. I mean, it worked in Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Super romantic, that scene.
How about the scene from, what movie was it? Patrick Swayze? Where, with the pottery?
Pottery?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to get yourself your hands on one of those spinning wheel things.
Yeah.
But,
I don't have any real talents like that, but I think I can figure something out. I can put something together, but thank you guys.
Yeah,
You're welcome.
Better just buy her something then, at mm-hmm. least, right? If you don't have any real yeah. gifts, right?
Buy her a pottery wheel. It's Anna and Raven, the Cupid helpline. What can I help you with?
My husband sent me flowers for Valentine's Day, and they arrived yesterday.
He said that the shipping is cheaper if we do it a couple of days before Valentine's Day. Do you think that I should be mad about that?
Oh, I say it's a heady play. I mean, especially this year, Anna, if we've learned anything is that COVID is the ultimate excuse for everything at this point, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know how many times I've ordered something and it's supposed to get there a certain day and then it doesn't show up till like 2-3 days later. And it doesn't even matter nowadays if you pay for overnight or guaranteed because they're lying to your face. They're lying. At least now you got them.
No, he should have just lied to you. That's what I think. He should have just been like, oh my gosh, they came early. How embarrassing. Do you like them? And that should have been
and
the end of it.
And know in his head that he saved $23.
Right. But you shouldn't be mad. At least he loves you enough to send them.
And Ann Raven, Cupid Help Hotline.
Yes, my wife and I, we've been together for 10 years. And she insists every year that I ask her to be my Valentine. Do you guys have any creative suggestions on how I do that?
Ooh.
Oh, I've got a couple of great ideas.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. First of all, parades. Parades have been very popular this past year. It's birthday parades. But you're just going to decorate your car with all kinds of like love balloons and cutouts. And then you're just going to keep driving past the house over and over and over. It'll be the saddest parade because you'll be the only car.
I was going to say, nobody else is showing up for parades anymore at this point.
Yeah,
they're
I know.
Over them.
It's just it's a one-man parade asking her to be a Valentine's. And the other option is flash mob, but I don't know how that works with masks. So,
again, with one person.
Right. If it's a flash mob, just you. There's going to be a lot of choreography. It's kind of going to be like a Broadway play. I hope you know how to do your jazz hands.
Get on YouTube.
It's Anna and Raven Cupid Helpline. What can we help you with?
My boyfriend is always saying that Valentine's is all about the guy getting the girl thing and not the other way around. And I really would love to get him something special. Do you have any ideas?
Oh, yeah. Hockey skates. Guys never think they're getting hockey skates.
For Valentine's Day?
No.
No. No, we have never once assumed that that is the thing that we are getting.
Right. That. Or maybe a kayak. So, like, you know, guys love kayaks, I think. I'm pretty sure. Kayak or hockey skates. Maybe both if you're feeling really generous.
Wow.
It's karma, Raven. That's what it is. Karma has literally bit me. That's what has happened.
Bad things that you did when you were young? Were you a biter yourself? What happened?
No. Tana and Raven, Dakota the Destroyer, that's what we call my two-year-old daughter, is a biter. I feel like if I say it out loud, then I could get it off my chest.
It's the first thing that you have to do. It's the first step on the journey, right? I don't know how many steps there are on the program for biters, but it is a big thing.
It's a big thing. When my older daughter, Hayden, she's going to be 12, when she was younger, she was a saint, right? She never did anything wrong. And I remember being in preschool, and I remember saying to my husband, like, about the biters there.
Right.
I'd be like, what are those parents doing?
Right.
Why
must be something wrong with them.
What are they doing wrong?
Is there bad television on in their house?
I used to like text my girlfriend. My girlfriend, she kept getting, her son kept getting bit by one of the biters.
Oh my gosh.
And I'd be like, I don't understand what's wrong with those parents.
Right.
Control your kid, right?
Right, do something about this.
Here we are, 10 years later. I have my own two-year-old who is unruly in every way you can possibly imagine.
Yeah.
I adore the baby girl. I adore her, but she is crazy town. And yesterday, she goes in, and she goes to give me a kiss. I go, give mommy a kiss. And she opens up like a tiger, ready to pounce. And she bit my lip so hard. Raven, do you see?
I do see the mark there. I mean, it was just yesterday that you were telling me that she punches. And
she hit you in the face the other day.
She's
so violent.
Right, and now all of a sudden the biting thing is going on here.
God, why have you forsaken me?
I've seen a lot of scary movies before, so I don't know. I don't know what this means, really.
Well, so now I have a biter. So yesterday we had a play date with these twins that we hang out with. We love them. And the whole time, I'm like trying to keep like a foot between them.
Just keep an eye on her to make sure she doesn't go in for a bite.
Has she bit anybody but you? She bit Hayden. She bit my older
daughter,
my Hayden.
God, the people that care the most for her.
She bit my mom's neck one day when she was trying to put her down for a nap. And she bit Paul's shoulder. So she's bit everyone in our family. She hasn't gone outside of our immediate circle. And I don't know how to make it stop.
Right.
Right.
It's everybody that's put a rule on her or restraint at one point or another. I mean, this kid just wants to be wild.
Dagger teeth she has.
Right.
So
what are you going to do?
Well, I just brought it up before. And I asked, I said, what do you do? And somebody texted, actually three people texted, and they all said the same thing. I have to bite her back.
Wait a minute.
I swear to you, they all say bite her back. Are you allowed to bite your kids? I don't think you're allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody found out about it, I don't think it would be great.
How hard do you bite your kid back? Because she drew blood on my lip. I don't think I could bite. I don't think I could do that.
And her skin is softer. I don't know. You put in that indentation. You could be locked up on this one.
What do you think I should do?
Well, I know that you hate it when I do the comparisons with my dogs, but these are the small things that I have in my life to compare with that I have to deal with it.
Please, Raven, don't tell me to put a muzzle on my tail.
I mean, the first thing I would say is just make sure that she's well-fed.
Okay.
All right? Make sure that she's clearly well-fed so that the first thing is let's eliminate the fact that she's hungry.
All right.
All right? Yeah. And then you could, so my trainer, he decided that we should put chew toys all over the house.
Yes.
So some well-placed chew toys anywhere accessible. That way, when she goes in for a bite, you just shove a bone in her mouth.
Oh.
I mean, she's bound to not love the taste of that sooner or later, I mean, given the fact that you have a dog, too.
Right.
He also has a spray water in their face. So, like, when the dogs go crazy, when somebody comes to the door, we go, nope. You have to you have to yell nope very firmly.
Yes.
And then you sprinkle water in their face.
Okay.
And then the backup is you could always, like, wrap your shins and arms and magazines and duct tape like they do in zombie flicks.
Okay. And to protect myself.
Those are the top ones off my head. But first thing is, shove a meal in her mouth.
Okay, so well-fed, chew toys, spray her in the face.
Yeah.
And then if worse comes to worse, just wrap myself in duct tape and just accept the fact that I have a biter. Everybody has their song. You think back to your first love. What was your song with that person? And what happens when you hear that song now? Does it make you smile, maybe? Maybe it makes you cringe and think, what was I thinking back then?
Was it a teenage thing? Because I feel like I had a song with every one of my early girlfriends, right? Right? Whatever the hit song was right there. They'd be like, that's our song.
It's our song. Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. So top three love songs of all time.
Okay.
Number three. I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner.
Okay, a lovely little ditty, yes.
Number two, Whitney Houston's version of I Will Always Love You.
That one still gives me chills to this day.
Yep, and the number one love song of all time is Unchained Melody, The Righteous Brothers.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah. What was your song? Think back to your first girlfriend. What was her name? Your first love.
So I'm thinking like that. I think I took Melanie to the seventh grade dance, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Not my first girlfriend, but my first one, like where there was like a dance and stuff. And I remember the theme of the dance, of course, was Steven Tyler and Aerosmith and Angel. Baby, you're my angel. Oh, and Anna Zapp, we swayed so slowly.
Yeah.
Hands. I thought we'd be together forever.
Above the hips while the teachers watched over
awkwardly,
you.
Awkwardly, right? Right. Well, I thought we'd be together forever. Or at least until after my mom picked us up from the end of the dance, right?
Brought you home.
Thanks for the ride, Mom.
Did you do the sandwich? Do you remember the sandwich?
What is the sandwich?
I don't know if this was just a thing that my school did, but it would be like, it would go boy, girl, boy, girl, boy, girl, and everybody would sway together and they would call it the sandwich. And
like then a conga line?
Yeah, but everybody was way too close to each other.
Centipede?
It was like a slow dance, but it was like a long line, like a centipede. And then they banned it in eighth grade. No more sandwiches at the
dances. Because it started to grind at that point.
Well, that's what it was.
The centipede started to get a little, like an impacted neck vertebrae.
Forgot about the sandwich.
There was no more padding in between anymore. You know, the thing with, I mean, I never experienced the sandwich, but I can envision it. And the thing that I'm imagining is the person in front of you, you're all for being in the sandwich with. And the person that came up behind you, that you were unguarded to, that grabbed you, oh, you're not thrilled about that.
I wonder, did everybody do that in the 90s?
I don't
in
think
the
so.
Early 90s? No.
You had the sweaty kid and a sandwich behind you, huh?
So weird, right?
Nasty.
Oh my gosh. My
what
my
was
first
yours?
Song, it was it was one of my high school boyfriends because I would consider him probably my first serious boyfriend.
Okay, right.
And our song was Crash Into Me by Dave Matthews Band.
Okay. Oh, when you come crash
into me. But as an adult, listening to that song now?
Yeah, it was a little much.
I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah. What did your dad know that that was your song?
I don't think
so.
Because
I would have ripped that young man right out of that car. We would have had a conversation.
I think even at this point in my life, my dad doesn't know who Dave Matthews Band is. So I think it would have been just fine.
I bet you he knew who that kid was.
I certainly did.
I know his father.
Mm-hmm. What was your first song? Think back to your very first love. What was that song? When you think about that song, what do? I got to be honest, I cringe. I cringe when I hear that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I dated that guy.
Oh, you made all the best choices.
Yeah. Everybody has a first love. And for some reason, that first love always had a song that was like, it was your song.
Power ballad. We are going to be together always.
Now, what song was that? And like, what happens now when you hear that song? What are your feelings? 1-800-330-9999. Hey, it's Anna and Raven.
Mario, Let Me Love You. I would do a little concert in the room just for her, a little dance. You should let me love you. Let me be the one to give you
everything you.
Oh.
And then the babysitter would break you up?
It's Anna and Raven. What was your first love, your song?
All Out of Love by Air Supply.
Oh, that's a breakup song.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you. I know you were right.
Is that a breakup song?
I mean, yes and no. No, he would sing it to me when we were driving around in the car, and it made me feel things. So
yeah.
Maybe like you were breaking up. Yeah. Isn't it like
that
I'm
was
all
the fumes
out of love?
Coming through the floorboards of that straight six Nova.
Right.
Bench seat, slide on over, honey.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your song from your first relationship?
More Than Words by Extreme.
Oh, man.
Wow.
You're like my age, right? Like, yeah. I could tell already, like that.
More than words is all you have to
You would hang out with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, Anna, and you were so in love.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're so in love that words aren't enough. They're not.
They're more. They're more than just
we
words.
We need more than words, yeah. Right? That's what we need.
When you hear that song now, does it make you smile or do you cringe?
Kind of a mixture of both.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What was your song? Your song from your very first relationship?
Wicked Game, Chris Isaak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Raven loves that song. I feel like there's been so many times that I've heard you bust out that song out of nowhere.
What?
That might have been his first love song, too.
Actually, you know what? When I was younger, I didn't like that song. But, you know, everybody talks about the video, of course, Angelina Jolie in that video.
They say that that's one of the most hottest videos of all time.
Right, of all time.
When you hear that song, does it bring you back to a good place or a bad place?
A good place. I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, if you're carrying around all that hate later on in life, I was going to burn you up, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Be free of it, man. Be free.
It's Anna and Raven. Go back to your first relationship. What was your song?
Well, it's kind of it was even an old song then. You know, Wild Horses by the Rolling Stones? Wild Horses. Yeah, and it was stupid just because we had our first date at like one of those dude ranch places.
But then they have like really? What? And then they have one of those Sixpence the Richer. Or somebody covered it. One of those girls that sounds like a fairy.
I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Where like the sound, the voice is so light and delicate, they sound like they're about to pass out at any point if they don't eat something that has sugar in it.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a cover. No, I understand why that was popular. Bet you guys thought you were going to be together forever and ever. Spelled EVA. Forever.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday, a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Eric and Susan. Susan, what's going on?
So my husband and I, we're kind of having a low-key Valentine's Day. We're going to, like, a burger joint, not a big deal. And I was talking to my best friend, and she's really close to me, and she's going through a hard time right now and really didn't want to be alone on Valentine's Day. So I invited her to go with us, and my husband's not too happy about that, and I just don't get it. You know, it's another day. It's not the biggest holiday. I feel like we don't go all out for Valentine's Day, and I really didn't want her to be alone this year. So I invited her to come with us, and he has an issue with that.
Eric, what?
I could understand that.
Well, you understand why he would have an issue with it?
I mean, if you didn't discuss it ahead of time. Sure.
She's just being a good friend. What's going on?
Yeah, well, he actually hit it on the head, which is she definitely did not discuss it with me ahead of time. And, I mean, this is a big deal. Truth be told, you know, I kind of don't hit it out the ballpark most of the time of the year. So Valentine's Day, I kind of wanted to make this special, just me and Susan. And here she is inviting a third wheel. Not cool.
But when you say you want to hit it out of the park, you're not going to the burger joint?
No, I mean, in terms of our relationship, like oftentimes I feel like I'm in the hot seat. I'm in trouble. So now I wanted to kind of make things right, make it up and do something right for my wife and have like a nice romantic night just for us. And yeah, we're going to a burger joint, but it was about us.
I mean, Susan, on the one hand, I get what you're saying. I mean, obviously, if your friend is asking you and telling you that I'm having a hard time, of course you want to be there for your friend.
Right.
No doubt about it. But on the other hand, I mean, if you said the words, it's just another day. So Why don't you go out with your friend at lunch? Why don't you go out with your friend the day before? Why don't you go out with your friend the day after? Why has your friend got to be there on Valentine's Day? I mean, if your husband's giving you the prioritize, saying, like, this is the thing, a plan that I had for us, wouldn't that make more sense?
I understand. It's just she's been so depressed recently. And, you know, during the pandemic, you know, it's hard. She lives alone. She doesn't have a significant other. I mean, I understand. But the biggest problem is now I'm going to have to uninvite her. And I don't, you know, I don't want to contribute to her depression and her being upset. How am I supposed to go about that?
Yeah, you can't uninvite her.
Well,
yeah,
I don't know. Watch me. I didn't ask. Sorry. Well, I'm going to have to see you a couple hours earlier. I hope you survive until I get back here.
That's not nice. Let's see what our audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Susan, that you've already asked her and now she's coming to dinner with you for this romantic night that your husband has planned at the burger place down the street. But they may see Eric's side, too, that you did not ask him what he thought about it. It is Valentine's Day, a day for couples, so you're going to have to uninvite her somehow or say, hey, listen, how about we hang out earlier in the day or something? Eric and Susan, they didn't really have massive plans for Valentine's Day. They were going to go to one of their local pubs. They were going to grab burgers. That was the plan. So when Susan realized that her best friend has really kind of been feeling down after the divorce, and she was like, just come with us. Who cares? We're just going down the street. It's no big deal.
Here's the biggest problem. She didn't talk to Eric about it. I think that is the biggest issue that he feels upset with. I mean, he mentions that he always is on the butt end of the fact that he didn't make a plan or he didn't have a plan or whatever. And the wife always kind of makes him feel like he let her down. This year, he had a plan. Not an extravagant one.
We're going to get burgers.
That's right. But he did have a plan, mm-hmm. and she didn't ask. What? I think that's the big problem.
So now he wants her to uninvite her. But can you really uninvite your friend on Valentine's Day? What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on husband's side. That woman needs to get herself a life and be appreciative that her husband wants to do something special with her. And absolutely, positively, the other woman can have her over for lunch, breakfast, dinner, for a walk, but never, never on Valentine's Day. What was that gal thinking?
Well, there's definitely no doubt that Susan is a good friend, but maybe she went too far this time. One of her best friends recently went through a divorce, and she's been having a hard time with Valentine's Day coming up. She said, just come out to dinner with me and Eric. That Eric's her husband. Like, we're just going to the burger place down the street. It's no big deal. Just come with us. It'll be fun. Yeah. Her friend said yes. Only problem? Yeah, she didn't tell Eric that she was inviting her friend along.
Eric says it's Valentine's Day. Come on, your friend can pick another day. I get it. She's your friend, but I actually had a plan for us this time. Again, it's not a big extravagant plan, but it is a special day. And his plan for it was it to be just the two of them.
Yeah. What do you think? Should they uninvite her? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. Definitely communication is important, especially on a Valentine's Day evening. And I think she should plan like a lunch date with her, and then they can have their evening together.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm all about supporting the friend, especially, you know, obviously if it's a best friend, he probably has an established relationship with her too.
Yeah.
But just put the shoe on the other foot. Imagine if he told her, oh, well, my buddy who got divorced, he's not in a great mood lately. He's coming with us to dinner, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I think every relationship is different. I don't think this would be a big deal in my household. I really don't. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. Your primary relationship is your spouse, and they always come first. She wouldn't be happy if he invited one of her friends along on a romantic night out.
Yeah, thank you for the call. That seems to be a recurring thing. If you put it on the opposite foot, then what happens?
What if he invited her best friend to come to dinner with them? I mean, that would have been weird, too.
Wait a minute. What if he brought his single best friend, and then they fell in love?
Oh, both single best friends.
Yeah.
Right. No.
This is like a romantic rom-com in the making.
Probably wouldn't happen that way. Probably would have just ruined both their lives.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side today. I'm just saying because, you know, she didn't ask him first. You know, that's my biggest thing. Like, he wasn't, you know, asked. So that's why I would think, you know, I'm on the husband's side. But if he doesn't want a third wheel, I'm available to be the second part of that date.
Look at that.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Susan, our audience agreed with you. What's done is done. Maybe going forward, you would just think, like, oh, let me check in with my husband before I make a decision like this. But, Eric, you can't uninvite a friend who's going through a rough time when she's already offered.
I mean, fine.
Yeah, I think you're taking it on the chin on this one, Eric, but you are being the good friend, which is really nice. I just hope you get some credit for it later on. So, Susan, take note of the fact that, again, this was Valentine's, typically a couple's day. Maybe not normally the biggest deal, but Eric feels like this is the time that he actually took a time to make the reservation and had a little bit of a plan, albeit not that extravagant, but he thought he had a plan with the two of you, not a third party.
Got it. Thank you.
You have a problem too. Send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Denise.
Denise, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure. Good luck, Denise.
Denise, we have $200 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. You have 3 seconds to answer each question. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one. After 80 years, The Wizard of Oz is being remade. What was the Tin Man missing in the original?
A heart.
Number two, Sandra Bullock is joining Brad Pitt in the action flick Bullet Train. What pop artist actress that currently has her own Oreo flavor is also on the cast?
Lady Gaga.
Number three, drunk Tom Brady threw the Lombardi Trophy from his boat to another boat in a parade yesterday. What team did he play for before he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
The Patriots.
Number four, Stephen King helped an elementary school in his hometown publish 2 books that children had written with a $6,500 donation to their Kickstarter campaign. Which Stephen King book turned movie is about an inmate named John Coffey? Time's up. And number five, a little too late. I'm sorry, Denise. Number five, the 16 acts nominated for next year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame include Rage Against the Machine, Tina Turner, Mary J. Blige, and this rapper actor whose real legal name is James Todd Smith. Who is that?
Ja Rule.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Okay, Denise got 3 out of 5.
3 out of 5 is not so bad. Let's see how I do.
All right, number one. After 80 years, The Wizard of Oz is being remade. Oh. What was the Tin Man missing in the original?
Tin Man is missing a heart.
That is correct. Number two, Sandra Bullock is joining Brad Pitt in the action flick Bullet Train.
What?
What pop artist actress that currently has her own Oreo flavor is also on the cast?
Pop artist has an Oreo. Lady Gaga.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number three, drunk Tom Brady threw the Lombardi Trophy from his boat to another boat in a boat parade yesterday.
Completion.
What team did he play for before he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
The Patriots.
Yes, you guys are tied at 3. Number four, Stephen King helped an elementary school in his hometown publish 2 books that 2 children had written with a $6,500 donation to their Kickstarter campaign.
That's great.
Which Stephen King book turned movie is about an inmate named John Coffey?
It's The Shawshank Redemption.
No, it's The Green Mile.
Oh, man, caught me right up. I thought I had the answer right there.
Number five, terrible. The 16 acts nominated for next year's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction include Rage Against the Machine, Tina Turner, Mary J. Blige, and this rapper actor whose real legal name is James Todd Smith. Who is that?
That's LL Cool J.
LL Cool J. Everybody love Cool James.
That's right.
Ladies love Cool James.
Ladies love Cool James. That's right.
All right, Denise, I'm sorry. He beat you 4-3 this morning. We'll get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
This is Denise, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing, Denise. Hold on.
Better luck next time.
Amber's drawings might be.
You have to promise not to freak out.
You're not an evil person just because you drew pictures.
Amber drew that?
What in the...
Sketch. In theaters now. Get your tickets at angel.com/sketch.